the trouble with young people today? And then I rip her clothes off. Possibly. Eventually, if she wants you to. I might draw your attention to the discussion we had the other day about taking regular baths. Or even a bath, he added to himself. And attention to fingernails and hair and changing your clothes more often. This is leather, said Caleb. You don't have to change it. It don't rot for years. Once again, Mr. Savaloy readjusted his sights. He'd thought that civilization could be overlaid on the horde like a veneer. He had been mistaken. But the funny thing, he mused, as the horde watched Caleb's painful attempts at conversation with a representative of half the world's humanity, was that although they were as far away as possible from the kind of people he normally mixed with in staff rooms, or possibly because they were as far away as possible from the kind of people he normally mixed with in staff rooms, he actually liked them. Every one of them saw a book as either a lavatorial accessory or a set of portable firelighters, and thought that hygiene was a greeting. Yet they were honest, from their specialised point of view, and decent, from their specialised point of view, and saw the world as hugely simple. They stole from rich merchants and temples and kings. They didn't steal from poor people. This was not because there was anything virtuous about poor people, it was simply because poor people had no money. And although they didn't set out to give money away to the poor, that was nevertheless what they did, if you accepted that the poor consisted of innkeepers, ladies of negotiable virtue, pickpockets, gamblers, and general hangers-on. Because although they would go to great lengths to steal money, they then had as much control over it as a man trying to herd cats. It was there to be spent and lost. So they kept the money in circulation, always a praiseworthy thing in any society. They never worried about what other people thought. Mr. Savaloy, who'd spent his whole life worrying about what other people thought, and had been passed over for promotion and generally treated as a piece of furniture as a result, found this strangely attractive. And they never agonised about anything, or wondered if they were doing the right thing. And they enjoyed themselves immensely. They had a kind of honour. He liked the horde. They weren't his kind of people. Caleb returned, looking unusually thoughtful. "Congratulations, Mr. Ripper," said Mr. Savaloy, a great believer in positive reinforcement. "She still appears to be fully clothed."
"Yeah. What did she say?"
said Boy Willie. "She smiled at me," said Caleb. He scratched his crusty beard uneasily. "A bit, anyway," he added. "Good," said Mr. Savaloy. "She said she wouldn't mind seeing me later."
"Well done."
Teach, what's a shave?"
Savaloy explained. Caleb listened carefully, grimacing occasionally. He turned around occasionally to look at the duck seller, who gave him a little wave.
"Caw," he said. "I dunno."
He looked around again.
"Never seen a woman who wasn't running away before."
"Oh, women are like deer," said Cohen loftily. "You can't just charge in. You've got to stalk 'em."
"Sorry," said Caleb, catching Mr. Savaloy's stern eye.
"I think perhaps we should end the lesson here," said Mr. Savaloy. "We don't want to get you too civilized, do we? I suggest we take a stroll around the Forbidden City, yes?"
They'd all seen it. It dominated the centre of Hung Hung. Its walls were 40 feet high.
"There's a lot of soldiers guarding the gates," said Cohen.
"So they should. A great treasure lies within," said Mr. Savaloy.
He didn't raise his eyes, though. He seemed to be staring intently at the ground as though searching for something he'd lost.
"Why don't we just rush up and kill the guards?" Caleb demanded. He was still feeling a bit shaken.
"What?" "Don't be daft," said Cohen. "It'd take all day. Anyway," he added, feeling a little proud despite himself, "Teach here is going to get us in on an invisible duck. Ain't that so, Teach?"
Mr. Savaloy stopped.
"Ah, Eureka," he said.
"That's Ephebian, that is," Cohen told the horde. "It means, give me a towel."
"Oh, yeah," said Caleb, who had been surreptitiously trying to untangle the knots in his beard. "And when were you ever in Ephib?"
"Went bounty hunting there once."
"Who for?"
"You, I think."
"Huh, did you find me?"